Well, I greet you today with the grace and the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ on this wonderful day of celebration. And we do have much to celebrate for these 57 years of life of WPC and life of the Presbytery of San Fernando. As you may know, this was the first congregation that the Presbytery of San Fernando, our presbytery charter, immediately after it became or came into existence in 1968. So for that, I congratulate you, and we are here to give God the glory for these years of living and singing and serving and blessing others and walking this long road of faith together as a community of faith. The Presbytery of San Fernando, as you know, is a regional body, a community of faith that goes, that is now, as of today, 25 congregations after we charter the most recent one last month. And we span from Silver Lake to Lancaster and from La Cañada to Westlake Village right here. And we are always overjoyed over our partnership in God's work, in God's mission, the participation of many of you, several of you, in different expressions of the life of our presbytery, and our ongoing partnership in God's work going forward. I personally want to say that 25 years ago, WPC donated a copy machine to a new church development in Van Nuys that I happen to serve as pastor of. And I want to assure you two things. One is that copy machine was put to good work. And the other thing is I have no idea where that copy machine is now, but we are here carrying on and serving God together. So let us pray. Loving God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for all that you have done in this place, in this community of faith, and all that you continue to do among us. Thank you for the opportunity of gathering in your name and around your word. And we ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our heart be acceptable before you, because you are God, you are our God, our rock, and our redeemer. Amen. On this day, when we might naturally prefer to reflect on a psalm of abundance or a gospel story of miracles, or focus on Paul's soaring promises to churches like the church in Ephesus, we will spend some time sitting down with Job. And Job, we might ask, what does Job have to do with a joyful occasion as an anniversary celebration on a day meant for gratitude? And I recognize that it might indeed feel strange, but not only that, probably even a little jarring. But perhaps that is precisely the invitation of this series called Gratitude Reimagined. Because reimagined gratitude is not just the easy kind of gratitude of that we feel when everything is going our way or just fine or according to what we expect or hope for. Gratitude reimagined is rather gratitude that is often learned in the middle of the night. Gratitude that is often whispered through tears. Gratitude that is practiced when the evidence of thanksgiving runs thin. And so, in the passage that we will consider, we will look at one of Job's friends, Eliphaz, that didn't always get it right, like Job didn't either. But one thing that we can learn from Job is that the arc of the narrative of his life is one shaped by the reality of life's challenges, perhaps similar to those that had the vision of starting this church when everything was just open space and very few homes existed in this area. In the midst of adversity, our gratitude can be made richer and deeper than just the gratitude found in times of ease and comfort. So Job's gratitude, let's face it, is not always there, but it is present towards in different parts of the book, and towards the end is one that is possibly described as defiant gratitude. It is not a response to abundance. It is the refusal to let despair have the final word. So Eliphaz describes God as the one that performs wonder that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be counted, that provides rain for the earth, that sends water on the countryside, that sets the lowly on high, and those who mourn are lifted to safety. And reflecting back on your history and the history of our presbytery, we have seen God come through and do those things over and over again in ways that are unexpected and sometimes confounding to those that feel that that is not going to happen. Gratitude, in these ways, lived as the breath that we pray, even when we have no strength for words, but the Bible says that the Spirit intercedes through us with sighs that are too deep for them. It's remembering the rock, even when the ground is shaken. So as the psalm that Pastor David read, you can be faint of heart and still be thankful. Because God is a God that meets us not at the best version of ourselves, but whatever version of ourselves we happen to find ourselves in. And that's why the Apostle Paul could see a fledgling community in Ephesus, in the city of Ephesus, and say, and pray for them that they might be filled with all the fullness of God, of the God who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. We can affirm that As a church, you have weather good seasons and hard ones, abundance in times of scarcity, confidence in questioning. Let me tell you, God is no stranger to any of those. The church continues to see the world that is changing and neighborhoods shifting. But when our heart is faint, God keeps bringing us to the rock that is higher than us. So if we prepare for Thanksgiving, we know that many around our country might not have full tables or perfect years. But our prayer and our mission is that our churches can be pointing people to the ability to give thanks in spite of. Thanksgiving is clinging. Thanksgiving is being lifted up when our strength is gone. And so, Westminster, I commend you for celebrating with gratitude, because I remember that last time I preached at this congregation, it was at the parking lot 5 years ago. And you kept going. And I know that you will continue to go, seeking creatively, not only for you to be lifted up, but to bring others to know the rock of our salvation that is our Lord Jesus Christ. You have walked the long road. You have leaned on God's shelter when storms have risen. that you had held unto hope, even when hopes are tested. So fidelity is a theme throughout scriptures of a God that will not let go. And it is also woven into our Presbyterian history. Several of us have been part of a project of celebrating the 170th anniversary of since the First Presbyterian Church was started in 1855, the First Presbyterian Church of Los Angeles. As a matter of fact, I was imprudent to raise the idea, and people in the Synod of Southern California said, "That sounds great, Juan, you do it." So today there is, and I want to invite you all to take a listen. It's going to be by far much more interesting than my sermon, Story of Presbyterianism in its Early Days. Things were messy, things were uncertain, things were difficult, but I'm so glad that they carried on. So that story in a dusty, violent, and unpredictable town called Los Angeles tells us of a people that had no guarantees, no safety net, no assurance that anything will last. But I want to believe that they had faith in God, who meets people in the dust and in the whirlwind. They planted a congregation in a very stable soil. They preached Christ beside a courthouse that was known by public hangings. They prayed and served and loved people in a place that probably looked pretty much like Job's own landscape. Chaotic, harsh, unforgiving. But here we are to say 170 years ago, after that, and 57 years ago after your founding, that God is faithful. So how does gratitude look for us now? And it looks like, yes, considering the real losses that we have experienced without losing heart. It looks like honoring our past without worshiping our past. It looks like facing our challenges without letting the future terrify us. It looks like trusting God with new imagination, with new courage, and with new spirit-filled possibilities, as we see in the life of people like Henrietta Mears herself. I mean, think about it. Hollywood was not known to be the ideal place for churches or for Christian education. When she came about and received God's call to serve among us, she was not coming to an easy task, but she was up to the task because she believed in a God that was greater than the challenges of the location where she found herself. And because of that attitude of gratitude, even in the midst of challenges and what could be a very unpromising landscape, many people and many lives have been touched by the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I commend you for all that you're doing. And I want to say that certainly people like Henrietta believe ferociously that the Word of God not only had shaped the world, but will continue to shape the world. That the Holy Spirit could awaken love and holiness in people, even in places like Hollywood. That if you offer Christ clearly, people will find their lives continue to be turned upside down. The gratitude that she embodied was a gratitude for the God who refuses to give up on Job and that refuses to give up on the world. The God that refuses to give up on our cities, our churches, our teenagers, our nations, and the people that are brokenhearted. So you, after 57 years, stand in that line, long line of people that believe that God could do and is doing immeasurably more in situations that others, where others would have given up. So I encourage us to listen not only to our past, but also to the God of our present and our future, that we can learn to trust God and to lean on God for the next 57 years, knowing that God has been faithful, that God is faithful still, and because of that, we carry on as part of God's mission. Let me tell you, the story of Job is one of the quintessential happy ending, wonderful restoration of the things that Job had lost inexplicably. Because I do see that story as a story that is our story, inviting to embrace the fullness of God's gift, reminding us that abundance flourishes when we open ourselves to what God wants to do with us and for us and through us next. So we give thanks to God for the resilience and the grit and the ongoing faithfulness and dedication of all of you. And we continue to look for those that are out there, wondering whether there is a rock, whether there is a hope, whether there is a God. I want to say that today we stand with Job and with Jesus himself at the cross, and with Paul telling the disciples that God is not bound by our best memories of the past, however wonderful they might have been. That God is not contained by our understanding of the future, of the present, and even the walls that we might want to build or the ballrooms that we might want to build for ourselves. God is greater and he's doing immeasurably more. And he's not confined to our best ambitions for the future that and the desires of many to bring about a movement of unprincipled inclusion that is not necessarily according to God's will. With Job and Jesus and Paul, we stand in the hands of a God that gives us reasons to be grateful beyond the imagination of anyone. And to the God who performs wonders that cannot be fathomed. To the Christ who meets us in the whirlwind. To the Spirit who fills us beyond all imagining. To God be the glory at Westminster Presbyterian Church. And in Christ Jesus, through all generations, forever and ever. And all God's people say, amen. Let us pray. We thank you, O God, for like Job, recognize the limitations of what he knew when you came to his encounter, and he admitted that he had heard about you, but you became all the more real even after the challenges. We pray that you help us reimagine our gratitude to a more lasting one, to one that is not ephemeral or based on our preferences, to one that is, that reflects who you are and who you reveal yourself to be in Christ Jesus. Continue to bless this church, the session of Westminster Presbyterian Church, and all they do and every ministry involved in this congregation. Continue to strengthen them and give them glimpses to the wonderful reality of who you are. The God that comes to us and continues to come to us. And help us be good ambassadors as we invite other people to cling to that rock that is higher than any of us. Bless us, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.